At a time when investors are confronted with market volatility and a variety of challenges fueled by the uncertainty of inflation, unsettled geopolitical tensions, and economic pressures, Justin Klein and Steve Peasley stand ready to take your finance and investment questions and share their unbiased answers. This is InvestTalk, independent thinking, shared success. InvestTalk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. The clarity for your path forward starts now. Here is KPP Financial President, Financial Advisor Steve Peasley.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to InvestTalk. It is Tuesday, January 31st, 2023. And we've just completed the first trading month of this year, 2023. And I know that the investors that have been around the market a long time know that the dynamics have changed and will change and will continue to change. But we go from bear markets to bull markets. Bull markets last many years. Bear markets last 1 to 3 years. So this is the second year, but January's been an up month. So far, I mean, I think the S&P is up like 4 or 5% for the month, 5% for the month of January. The NASDAQ is up even double that, and Dow's up 3 or 4%, smaller. So this has been a very good January. Now we're moving into February. The Federal Reserve is meeting right now, so we'll know more about interest. There's lots of variables, right? These variables cause all kinds of changes. So we know that our economy is slowing. That's going to affect earnings. And I don't know if we built in the earnings effect. We've had a pretty good earnings season for the fourth quarter of last year. So that's been pretty positive for the market. But we still haven't seen the effect of the rise, the doubling of the interest rates by the Fed yet. We haven't seen the effect on corporate profits. We've seen the effect on the stock market for last year, down significantly. But, you know, if you've been around a while, you know these things pass. You know the market looks the worst when it starts to turn around. It turns around at the very worst-looking economy, and, you know, you think, oh, gosh, and then that's when it starts turning around. So I don't think we've seen the worst yet. I think we still have some weakness coming, but not too much. I don't think it's going to be too bad at all. Now, the reason you downloaded or are listening to this podcast live is with the goal for you to have some unbiased answers to your financial investment questions. So you can achieve that by asking the question. You can call. Okay, it might be tempting to pretend the market today is just like it was going to be like it was last year, but it's not going to be. It's going to be different this year, very different. I'm Steve Pease. I'm here to hear on this radio program and podcast to help make you come to understand what your strategy is, what your goals are, and whether or not you have a proper portfolio to achieve them. But I'm here to answer questions. The number is 888-99-CHART. Any financial question. We're open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week with that number. But I'm live. Justin and I are live 4 to 5 Pacific time, Monday through Friday. And I got a lot of material to go through today. My focus point is going to be what you need to know about Roth IRAs. There's changes, not a lot, but it's important that you know what they are. And time permitting, I want to talk about the Fed meeting that's taking place right now. I want to talk about the NASDAQ and the market being up and maybe why. Okay. Increasing interest rates hurt tech stocks. They hurt tech stocks the most. Why is that? I'm going to talk about that. And is the global debt a ticking time bomb for economies and therefore stocks? Global debt, not just our own debt, globally. Global debt. It's at record highs. So those are things we're going to talk about and still get to a trivia question, too. It's Trivia Tuesday, so I'll give you that question about the halfway point through the show. Has to do with having you snag a better job. This is coming up at the halfway point, right? So I've got all this planned in this episode of the podcast. And, of course, I will take your live calls on 888-99-CHART. So how did the market do today? Well, it was up pretty significantly for the last day of the month. The Dow was up 369, the NASDAQ up 191, and the S&P up 59. That's a pretty good move. Pretty good move. So let's go ahead and get started. Let's take our first caller question.
Hello, my name is David from San Luis Obispo, California. Would you take a look at Cavco Industries, ticker CVCO? It's a manufactured home building company. I've been buying the stock the last 2 months, and I think it's at fair value. What's your opinion on it? Thank you. Great show.
Okay. Cavco Industries, Inc., out of Phoenix, Arizona, manufactures single multi-sectional manufactured homes sold via independent 45 company-owned outlets. So how can it be independent? Okay, independent 45 company-owned outlets. If they're independent, they wouldn't be company-owned. So I'm not sure how that doesn't seem to be worded correctly on my software. Anyways, they're going to make $26.29 for 2023. Okay, that's pretty good. 2024 is going to go down 12%, 23.13. So let's look at, let's take that 23.13, compare it to the stock price of $266. So what is that, 11, 12 PE? And the PE range for the last 5 years is 7 to 33. Return on equity is very good at 22%, has virtually no debt, have great cash flow, $18.76. Management owns 2% of the company. It's a $2.3 billion company, so it's small cap, but, you know, not tiny. Mutual funds are slowly buying it. Sales have been pretty spectacular the last 2 years. So it's probably undervalued, but it's in the housing industry where interest rates are rising. So I would be very, very careful. I probably wouldn't enter into this stock because I don't like the direction of interest rates. Once interest rates cap out, then this stock might be more interesting for me to take a look at. Okay, that's Cavco, CVCO. This is InvestTalk. Justin Klein and I thank you for your participation and helping us achieve over 49 million downloads since it all began. We're moving to a quick break, and I am ready for your questions, 888-99-CHART.
In today's world, a variety of factors are affecting the stock markets. Serious investors know building a secure financial future requires hard work and determination. That's why now, more than ever, when it comes to the planning, execution, and maintenance of your portfolio, you need InvestTalk. With total downloads nearing 50 million, each InvestTalk podcast should be one of your key financial planning and educational tools. InvestTalk is a free download, and hosts Justin Klein and Steve Peasley stand ready to provide their unbiased guidance and professional analysis developed from real-time data research and years of investing experience. 24/7, rain or shine, during smooth sailing or on rough weather days, the InvestTalk listener line is open and waiting for your questions. You set the agenda. Don't forget to call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
Everybody wants a secure financial future, but getting there takes strategy and discipline. Steve Peasley is here and ready to take your calls live. InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
Hi, Steve and Justin. This is Alan from Hayward, California. I love the show. I learn a lot all the time. When I think of passive investing, I think of set it and forget it. It doesn't matter if it's a red or green day for the share price, you buy it regardless. So when people invest in a cyclical company like ExxonMobil only for the dividend income, should they be concerned about when to buy it, or can they set it and forget it and buy it at whatever price it's at, so long as they're only in it for the dividend income? Should I be concerned about the share price and paper losses of my principal while passively collecting the dividends? Exxon is a dividend aristocrat, which means its dividend is generally considered safe. If not ExxonMobil, are there any individual paying companies that I can passively set it and forget it? Thanks. Love the show.
There are, but ExxonMobil is one of them. They're big blue chip companies. You can buy them and forget about them. But I don't like to buy them after they've had a pretty strong run up. I wait. I wait till the cycle's down. So I bought Exxon and Chevron, you know, a while back when they were much more, you know, attractive. Okay, now at 116, it's gone from like $35 in 2020 to 116. So it's hesitated around 60, which was a good buying opportunity. And now it's 116. I think I'd wait for a pullback. But yeah, the most common things that you could buy and set and forget is index funds. There's a ton of index funds that slice and dice up the market. You could buy those ETFs for those index funds, buy them whenever you want to, and forget it. You could do that. Now, of course, everybody wants to buy low let it ride up. But most people have a hard time buying low because everything is going down and everybody's panicking and the stocks are falling and they don't want to buy. But that's exactly when you should buy. When everybody else is a seller, you should be the buyer. When everybody else, not just some people, I'm talking about an overall market fall like it did last year, you need to be a buyer. Okay, and if you're not and you're a buy and holder, just hold it through the dark times. You'll be fine. You will be just fine. My focus point today concerns the story behind what you need to know about Roth IRAs. You should understand Roth IRA contributions income limits, the ins and outs of the backdoor IRA maneuver, and more. So I will explain. Do you want me to go ahead and start that? I can explain it now. Okay, I'll be happy to do that. Okay, so first of all, they've made some changes. The government's made changes. The Roth contributions are going up $1,000 to $6,500 for 2023, and $6,500 for everybody, and $7,500 for those people 50 and over. It was $1,000 less in 2022. So that is the change. Now, Roth is versus a regular IRA, a Roth grows the money that you put in there tax-free. Where a regular IRA, you get to deduct the contribution that you make, where you don't with a Roth, but all the growth over the years, you're going to have to count that as income when you start taking it out. And they make you take it out at 70, or is it 72? They make you take it out at a certain age. I think they just raised it too, raised that mandatory withdrawal. Anyways, your custodian will let you know. But you know, there's benefits. So a Roth grows tax free, but there's been lots of studies as to which method actually does better, and there's controversy. Some people think the Roth does better than the regular IRA, and some people think the regular IRA does better once everything is calculated out. So I can't tell you one's better than the other. Now, you can do a backdoor Roth. That means you can roll over your regular IRA or part of it to a Roth IRA, but the amount you roll over is then counted as income for that year that you roll it over. So you get to add that to your income for that year and pay income tax on it. Then you can move it all to a Roth. You can do that. And there's arguments for, I like having both, to be honest. I think, you know, a young person should do both. You know, I don't know why. I just don't think it's, you know, no one really knows which one's better than the other long term. But I like the tax benefits of both of them. So that's my opinion. Roth. Let's go to Tom in Kentucky. Hi, Tom.
Hey, Steve. I got a question. I was looking at Olin Corporation. I called you several years ago, and I think my average cost purchase is about $20 a share.
Good for you.
And I watched it climb the last couple of days, and I don't know how much more climbing I think it could do. And it is, the only bad part is that it's a taxable account, so I know I have to pay taxes. But I'm just wondering, what do you see as a future? Because I don't want to be greedy. I'd rather take my profits and
right. Well, let's
come out on top than
Let's take a look at it.
Watch it tumble.
Yeah. Oh, it's Olin Corporation. It's in the chemical specialty area. Manufactures chloralkali and small caliber ammunition products. And the earnings look really strong, but the sales have started to weaken. So I would, and it looks like it's coming to a double top. Almost a triple top. It's $67 is the top, $67.25, and it's at $64.59. So I would be getting ready to take some profits if it fails at $67.25. It goes up there or closer and falls back down. Sell half of it. Fundamentally, it looks really strong still, though. Fundamentally. It's not overpriced. Not by a long shot. Anyways, it is a fast-moving Tuesday. The market's constantly changing. You must have some financial investment questions, so give me a call. Our number is 888-99-CHART.
Now, each time I host the Invest Talk podcast, I have the satisfaction of taking caller questions and then breaking down the often complex dynamics involved. If you've never called, don't hold back. You can leave your InvestTalk questions on the 24/7 anytime listener line at 888-99-CHART.
888-992-4278. We're going to go talk to Chris in Maine. Hi, Chris.
Yeah. Hey, Steve. How's it going?
Good. Are you getting a lot of snow up there?
Little dusting today. It's been overall a relatively dry winter, but yeah, we got a little bit on the ground.
So. Oh, I thought I saw.
Nice. Feels like wintertime anyway.
Yeah, it's cold, I'm sure. Yeah, for us, cold.
Absolutely.
Me, cold down here in Southern California. I think it's going to get into the mid-40s tonight, and that's ice cold for us.
Yeah, so. It's all relative, though. I actually spent some time in San Diego, and after a while, 40 feels cold. So.
Yeah, I grew up in San Diego, so yeah, I'm very familiar. Anyways, you want to talk about...
Yeah, calling about IDEX Corp.
Okay.
IDEX. I've been following it for a little bit here, looking to get in, and every time it does a little pullback, I get ready to buy, and then it seems to make a jump up.
Yeah.
Reported earnings today, and they actually look pretty good. I like the company, but with a PE of around 30, seems kind of expensive. So I just want to see what you guys thought of it and what you thought a good price would actually be for it.
Yeah, it's a very good company. You know, so it's something that you could have in your portfolio and, you know, long term. It's in the machinery, general industrial sector. IDEX Corporation, IEX, makes fluid handling equipment, positive displacement pumps and dispensing equipment for various industries. So, you know, it's a diverse manufacturing type company. Anyways, their earnings have gone up every year. Every year, earnings have gone up. I mean, that's pretty amazing. For like, go all the way back to 2016 on my screen, and even during the bad, you know, COVID, they still went up. So it's the earnings are going up 5 to 6% a year, and sales are going up in the teens, mid teens and low teens a year. So sales and earnings are going up, and you can't complain about any of that, except that it is a little expensive, as you pointed out, because of that consistency. So how do you buy something like this? Well, you have to wait for a pullback, and I would suggest you wait for it to pull back. It's at $239, which makes it a 26.5 PE for next year's earnings. I think I'd wait. At 239, I think I'd wait for it to pull back into the low 200s, 200 to 210. Then I might jump in. It has a lot of strength and support at 180 to 190, but I don't think it would go down that far. So I think if you be patient, pick it up, I think you can get it still cheaper. I don't think it's just going to continue to rise. And earnings are going to be under pressure because interest rates went up. Because people buying their equipment might have to borrow money or whatever. It might hurt them. They don't have much debt. I mean, that's a very well-run company. I really do like it, Chris. But wait for a pullback, I think. Okay, let's go to Gene in North Carolina. Hi, Gene.
Hey, Steve. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you for making
it. I had two quick comments about the Roth.
Sure.
You were just giving a summary of.
Sure.
It deals with actually Roth 401k rather than the IRA. And my understanding is that the Roth 401k actually has a required minimum distribution, even though it's a non-taxable event. Does that sound correct to you?
Yeah, let me pull back my my reference article and see. It's not just 401ks. It's for it could be 401k or regular Roth. Yeah. It's just a Roth. Whatever I was talking about, just a Roth in general.
But the Roth IRA does not have a required minimum distribution at the age of 72. But
no,
Roth,
it does not. You are correct.
But the 401k does. They no longer want you to have it at that tax advantaged account. You have to either convert it to a Roth IRA or pull it out.
Yeah, that I don't know, but I don't disbelieve you. You're probably right. But for everybody else, he's right. A Roth, you never have to take the money out, never. A regular IRA, you do. So I just want to I'm glad you cleared that up. I appreciate the call for that, Gene. Thank you. And every time you hear me misstate something, don't hesitate to call. I don't mind being corrected. I really don't. So I'd rather get the right information to everybody than anything that might be wrong. So I appreciate that. Thank you, Gene. It's Trivia Tuesday, so let's get to it. Let's say that you are in the hunt for a new or better job. Maybe you've had a number of interviews, but no job offers. Here's my trivia question. According to a career expert, there are several stumbling blocks that could be holding you back when you apply for a job. Can you name a few of your potential problem areas? I will supply the answer after the break, but for now, my phone lines are open. Call 888-99-CHART.
How many times have you had a special idea? An idea that could probably make you some serious money, if executed properly. Some people are very creative and get valuable business or marketing ideas often. But having the concept in mind and acting on it are two different things, right? I can tell you that no matter your idea or how fresh your business plan might be, you are going to need a catchy, easy to remember, and a welcoming domain name to bring your idea to life in the global marketplace. This is why you should make it a point to work with GoDaddy's domain broker service. Here's what I mean. Let's say you've got the perfect domain name in mind, but you discover that it's already taken. You are going to want some expert help, and GoDaddy's domain name broker service is ready to get things rolling for you right now. The GoDaddy team of over 100 brokers works with companies worldwide to acquire domains securely and confidentially. In fact, a GoDaddy broker with expertise in your region will negotiate on your behalf to get you the lowest price while keeping your identity anonymous and ensuring that you won't overpay, and also that your plans won't be revealed early. So whether you are a Fortune 100 company or a newly funded startup, remember that GoDaddy is the leading domain broker worldwide. GoDaddy can help you get the perfect domain, even if it's not currently available. Don't let your best-in-class business idea go unrewarded. To learn more, or to see if your perfect domain name is perhaps already taken, go to GoDaddy's domain broker service at GoDaddy.com/DBS. That's GoDaddy.com/DBS. Make your dream come alive. Head over to GoDaddy.com/DBS. That's GoDaddy.com/DBS.
You're building your financial future, but you must have finance and investment questions. Justin Klein and Steve Peasley are ready to provide their unbiased answers. So don't forget to call InvestTalk. 888-99-CHART.
888-992-4278, everybody. Love to talk to you. Before the break, I gave you a trivia question. According to a career expert, there are several stumbling blocks that could be holding you back when you apply for a job. Can you name a few of your potential problem areas? And I can. I don't even need this article because I advise, I have almost 40 nieces and nephews, 6 grandnieces and nephews, but my nieces and nephews are now graduating. Some of them are graduating from college, some entering the job market. So I've talked to them extensively how to interview. I'm pretty good about that. But one of the things you don't do is you don't look desperate. Don't act desperate. Don't say things that may be interpreted as you're being desperate for this job. You come across positive. You come across, you want to be positive. You want to be excited about this job. Even if you're not excited about it, still act excited. You got to be excited. And one of the things, one of the sure ways I tell people, my nieces and nephews basically, is you need, whatever company you're going to interview, you need to look up that company online, find out everything you can about that company. And during the interview process, mention some of the things that you've discovered while you were reading up about the company, because that shows that you have lots of interest in the company. That shows that you took time out to look up the company. Oh, I like the new direction the company's taken in the recent weeks to go and sell these kinds of widgets or, you know, whatever they're doing. You know, bring that up sometime during the conversation when it's appropriate. But always act positive. Positive. No self-doubt. Don't say, I'm not sure if I can feel this job. I'm not sure if this job might be over my head. You never say stuff like that. You say, I can do this job. I'm the right person for this job. And this is why, because I've studied, you know, blah, blah, blah. You do it that way. Never have doubts. Okay? Don't worry about not providing enough details. You don't have to be, remember, you're just trying to impress this person interviewing. He's looking for certain, he or she is looking for certain things. One of them is a positive team member in their company. You want to be that positive person. Okay, and you don't want to talk about your weaknesses. If they ask you about, well, what's your weaknesses, and you know you don't really want to talk about them, you want to rush through any weaknesses you think you might have, real quick, or say, you know, you just don't want to focus on weaknesses. You want to be positive. I can do this. I know how to do this. I remember interviewing many years ago, several times, at different jobs, and I wasn't sure I could do the job. But when I interviewed, I said, I could do this job. I got the experience that I think that will be able to launch me into this job very successfully, blah, 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 blah. And they hired me. Okay? And I did. I did learn that job quickly, and I learned, you know, that you just get in there and you dig in. You spend extra hours, whatever it is it takes. I started my career in New York City, and I remember consciously always getting in before the boss and leaving after the boss leaves. Never, and come in Saturdays. I work Saturdays, you know, so that when Monday came around, I had all my desk clean, ready to go. Nothing backlogged. So, you know, that stuff like that, man, that really goes a long way. It shows your boss that you're a go-getter and you want to move up in the structure if that's your goal. What's really interesting that's happened recently is workplace, where people don't go into the office, and the workplaces are trying to upgrade to attract workers to come into the office by giving other nice benefits, you know, gymnasium, food courts, stuff like that. Let's go ahead and take another call. Let's go to Alan in Dallas. Hi, Alan. How you doing?
Great. You know, it's always great to hear your voice, Steve.
Thanks.
Hey, I remember one time you or Justin mentioned that you have Lumen in some of your holdings.
Yes.
I'm wondering if you still do and what you think about it, because it's been a bit of a laggard lately.
Oh, yeah. It's been a dumper. It's really disappointing. They're going to make 62 cents next year. They did make $1.45 last year. You know, that 62 cents to translate, that loss of earnings and loss of sales, which have fallen in the single digits every quarter for 2 years, the stock is at 525. So what it is extreme value. But, you know, we think it's an extreme value. But we've cut our position, but we still have some of it. The dividend yield is 19%, and the cash flow is $5.92 a share. Lumina, LUMN, everybody, provides local exchange, long-distance network accessing broadband services to rural communities in 37 states, and it's a $5.4 billion company. It's not tiny. So the dividend is really healthy, and return on equity is 18%, which is healthy, but they do have more debt that I'm comfortable with. It didn't really worry me because they have the cash flow to, you know, service it, but they need to turn this earnings picture around before the stock's going to take off. So be very careful with it. We still own some of it, but not a big position. Okay? Appreciate the call. Thank you. Okay, the Fed's meeting, and it's two-day meeting today and tomorrow, and then we'll get the results tomorrow afternoon, I think, as to what they are going to do. And most experts are calling for a 0.5% increase, down from the 0.75% increases they were doing before. And that's what the market is expecting. So any shock, any dramatic move one way or another will definitely move the market clearly. The NASDAQ was up 9% for January. Maybe 10 after today. I don't know if 1% moved today. I don't know what it was. This was before today, and the market was up. So why is that happening? The S&P was up 4.65. The Dow is up 1.7% for January. Why did that happen? I'll give you three reasons, but no one really knows for sure. So don't take this as gospel. But here's three reasons I think could be the reason. The market was just oversold. So buyers came in after the end of the year. Or people feel that the Fed is going to stop raising interest rates shortly. And they're going to change directions. Well, they are changing a little bit. If they go 0.5, announced tomorrow, they're increasing in 0.5. That's better than being increasing in 0.75. So maybe the people are thinking, well, that means the Fed's getting ready to stop raising rates altogether and reverse direction. So that's number two. Number three, the 50 worst performing stocks last year were the ones that skyrocketed this year. They were way oversold. So it was not just that the overall market was oversold, but some of the best performers were the worst last year. So just kind of interesting. Just some information for you to plug into your brain and figure out what you need to do. Okay, when people take the time to leave an InvestTalk podcast review on iTunes, we'd like to thank them for their courtesy by getting to their questions quickly. So here is, what's your opinion on Valco Energy? EGY is the symbol, everybody. EGY. It seems to be lagging the rest of the energy space. So I'm wondering if there's an opportunity here or if it should be avoided. Valco Energy out of Houston, Texas, engaged in acquisition, exploration, development, and production of crude oil and natural gas. It's a very small company, $503 million in market cap. Selling a stock is $4.65. They're going to make $1.40 for 2022. We haven't got that final number in. That's up 100% from the year before. Next year, there's going to be up another 30-40%. $30.35, $1.88 a share. Stock is $4.65. So it's selling for what, two or three PE? I think that's a great bargain. Pays 2.8% dividend yield. Cash flow is $1.03. Management owns 2%. Mutual funds have doubled, tripled their ownership in the last year. I think you accumulate this stock. It's really tiny, and that might be, it's only $503 million market cap, and that might be your problem, okay? That is so tiny that it's being overlooked, but mutual funds are buying. They are. Funds own 31% of the company. That's not that much. When it gets over 50, 60%, then you start to think about, well, gee, they have a lot of ownership. They're going to push us around the price. Right now, it looks like they're accumulating the stock to me. So that's EGY, everybody. Well, there's no denying that we're in a new market environment. Time marches on, and serious investors understand that they need to adjust their strategies. They need to fit the times. That doesn't mean selling all your stocks and buying new stocks. That means migrating. And we've been talking about that. Justin, I've been talking about it for over a year. You need to migrate from growth to value. That was a big migration we've been pushing way back over a year ago, year and a half ago. You can go back and listen to some old podcasts and let me know. But I know we've been talking well over a year. Get out of your growth stocks and move into some value stocks, which have been laggards for a long time. But it's their turn. And obviously in 2022, it was their turn. You know, the value indexes did very well compared to the growth indexes. I mean, yeah, did they lose money? Yeah, I think 10, 11% versus 20 to 35% for the NASDAQ. And some of the tech stocks, I mean, got killed. So, anyways. So, eventually, your strategy will perform if you know what you're doing, if you have a way to build your portfolio with knowledge. If you don't have a lot of knowledge, that's why you have people like me out there. You don't have to hire me, even though I would like you to, but you might need help because you just don't know how things move and what stocks and sectors and industries I should be in and how much risk do I feel comfortable taking. Okay, KPP Financial, our firm, Justin's firm, Justin, my firm, we implement a certain philosophy. We have unbiased guidance. We like to invest in the same things we recommend our clients to invest in. We call it parallel investing. We buy same price, same time, same month, same day, you know, and same price for everybody. I encourage you to take advantage of our offer, a free portfolio review, and you can do it via telephone, Skype, or GoToMeetings anywhere in the country, and we'll just help you. You don't have to hire us, and we're not going to push you to hire us, but if you have questions about what you're doing and whether it's right and whether you're taking enough risk, we'll help answer that question. So you can call our office, KPP Financial in Irvine, California, which is between L.A. and San Diego, kind of right in between them, South Orange County. And after speaking with Justin or myself or one of the other guys in the office, I think you'll see the difference. I really do. I think you'll feel it and see it. So we would love to have the opportunity to take a look at your portfolio. We'd love to have the opportunity to manage your funds, but we don't have to manage them. We wouldn't mind just helping you as well. You don't have to become a client. But we will help you. We want to help you. Next up, we will play another InvestTalk listener question, so hang on.
In today's world, a variety of factors are affecting the stock markets. Serious investors know building a secure financial future requires hard work and determination. That's why now, more than ever, when it comes to the planning, execution, and maintenance of your portfolio, you need InvestTalk. InvestTalk is a free download. Your participation makes it unique. Don't forget to call. InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
Hi, Stephen and Justin. This is Amir from Michigan. I have a question about Carvana. I know it grows rapidly during the past months, but like it's about 124% based on what I know. Right now, they don't have any earnings. I just wanted to know your idea about this stock. I'm looking forward to your response. Thanks so much.
Bye. Well, Carvana could become one of those meme stocks because it shot up, as he pointed out. I mean, it just took off for a company that's almost bankrupt. Okay? They're going to lose $9.89 a share this year, then lose another $7.65 a share next year. A negative cash flow, 11 cents a share. They have huge debt. Management owns 3%. Mutual funds own 52%. But mutual funds cut their ownership by half in the last year. That tells you there's a lot of short interest. Why it shot up is there's a huge short squeeze. Meaning, you know what? For those who don't know what that means, you can bet that the stock is going down, and that's called shorting the stock. And as it goes down, you make more and more money. It's inverse to buying stock long, you sell the stock short. So if the stock price goes down, you make money. Now, if too many people get in on the shorts, it becomes a problem because to get out of a short position to pocket your profits, you have to sell the stock. Okay, the shorts that you are, you have to sell the stock to realize your profit. Well, if there's a zillion shares short and all those people have to buy stocks to get out of their short position, they drive the stock up. And that's exactly what happened. The stock is jumped up because the short sellers are trying to cover their shorts by buying long. So moves the stock up. It's a selling short, going short, selling the stock short. You really have to understand what you're doing. It's not just that, oh, this company is weak and it's going to go down. That's not what just moves the stock. The other things move the stock. You know that's true. And the selling short, other things could be, the problem is you have to buy the stock to get out. And that's a big issue if a lot of people are selling that stock short. So how do you know how many people are selling short? Well, I can tell you, Carvana, there's 2.2 days of their volume is short. What's their volume? 174 million shares. That's their volume. So two times that is short. And how many stocks do they have outstanding? 188 million. So that's almost the whole trading day. Anyway, this is Invest Talk. I'm Steve Peasley. Give me a call.
Everybody wants a secure financial future, but getting there takes strategy and discipline. Steve Peasley is here and ready to take your calls live. Invest Talk, 888-99-CHART.
Okay, let's go to Bill from Northern California. Hi, Bill.
Hi, Steve. Good afternoon.
Thank you.
I have owned this Corteva. I haven't owned it for long, but I'm just wondering, with the earnings growth projections that I've seen, I wonder if you would consider this to be a good long-term hold for growth.
Well, it surprisingly is growing pretty strong for being a $46 billion company. I mean, I bet you most people never, ever even heard of this company. Corteva, Inc., everybody. It is a agricultural operation company on New York Stock Exchange. Provides, out of Wilmington, Illinois, provides agricultural products, supplies, germ plasma, and traits in corn, soybean, and sunflower seed markets. Okay? So it's in the agricultural sector, and, being a basic type industry, it's outperformed significantly all tech stocks and it's done very well. I mean, a year ago it was in its 40s and now it's 64-45. The problem is it is expensive, as you pointed out. It's kind of on the expensive side for a return of equity only 6%. I mean, it's not, even though it's growing recently in the teens. And earnings have been growing 23%, and they're going to grow to another 20% next year. Even though that is true, that price, all that good news is already in the stock. So I would be very careful if you, it's trying to go back up again to its top. And what was its top? It was right at 68.43 was its top. That happened in October, November. Okay, so it's trying to go back up there, and today was a good sign. It stopped right at the top. It went up and stopped at the top of today's trading. So I think it's still going to move up, but if it starts to weaken or fall from the $67 to $68, that means it's a triple top and it can't get through that number. That's probably when you need to take some off the table. Because it's going to go back down, retest the lows again, and make another run up. That's how it does. It's got to break those tops, then you'd be want to hold it for long term. Okay? And it is growing sales, last quarter, 17%. So it's doing very well. The company's doing very, very well, very low debt. Management owns 1%, funds own 50%. And they've been buyers. Bill, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. 888-99-CHART, everybody. Okay. How come increasing interest rates hurt tech stocks the most? Why is that? It's really pretty simple, and I know we've talked about it before, but I'll remind you. Because tech stocks are usually growth companies, right? They need to borrow money to grow. They're not in a profit mode. They're not making profits. They're burning money to grow, and they're borrowing at higher costs as interest rates rise. Which means the company has a harder time being successful because their costs are going up. Now, higher rates actually are good for energy stocks. Did you notice that? Think about what the energy stocks have done in the last year versus every place else. And what has interest rates done? Interest rates gone up. That's all they've done the last over a year now. And what has energy stocks done? Gone up. So rising interest rates are actually good for energy stocks. It's a really interesting dynamic. So that's what's going on, and that's how come tech stocks hate rising interest rates and do very poorly during that period. Of course, you might have some opportunity to pick up some really good tech stocks that, if they're not making money or close to getting to make money, I mean, it's possible. If you pick the right ones, you can make a fortune. But that's the difficulty. Which ones are the right ones, right? Which ones are not going to make it? Don't really know, do you? Yeah, so that's a problem. Now, is the global debt a ticking time bomb? I think many experts are starting to consider that it might be. Some don't think it's a problem at all. I'm very uncomfortable with the debt that we have globally. But that doesn't mean I'm out of the market. I'm not. Yeah, we'll see. I'm Steve Pease, and this completes another InvestTalk program. Justin Klein, I thank you for listening and encourage you to tell your friends and family members about our free podcast downloads. Get your downloads anytime at iTunes, Google Play, Spotify. We have achieved about 49.4 million downloads, and I want to thank everybody for that. I want to keep going. I want to grow the rate of our growth. I want to increase the rate of our growth. Please be sure to review and rate us on iTunes. If you do that, that helps increase our growth. Well, if it's a positive rating anyways. Remember, it's up to you. Independent thinking, share success. This is InvestTalk. Good night, everybody.
InvestTalk is a trademark of KPP Financial. Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for the listener to understand that not all comments made will apply to them. Specifically, nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell security. Because such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor firm which retains all rights. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. Steve Peasley is president, and Justin Klein is chief executive officer of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial. Thank you for listening, and your comments and questions are welcome on our 24-hour listener line at 888-99-CHART.